All right, so we're finally at the end of our foundational series reboots. And my prayer for you over the past 2 months has been this, is that you would be able to commit to hear these 7 messages and ask God to confirm what has been said in your heart. And after church today, we're going to have an opportunity to talk about it at our members' meeting. You've heard the biblical command about pursuing God through worship and through scripture. You've been challenged to create authentic community with one another through opportunities like Gather and Life Groups. And we close our reboot series by focusing on the third part of our potential vision statement, which is to lovingly serve. So we have to relentlessly pursue God, authentically cultivate relationships, and lovingly serve. This phrase is critical as Heritage seeks to aid you in your walk with Christ. Service to God should always be motivated by what's in the heart. And if love is not in one's heart, the service that is rendered to someone is unimportant in God's eyes. You can do the right thing with the wrong motive and not please God. At Heritage, we want to come alongside you as you take those risks and you find ways to lovingly serve others. Heritage globally is also in the same situation that you're in individually. Heritage must also rediscover her unique place and her unique role to lovingly serve others in our community. If a church cannot create a vibrant role for itself in the community, it will become complacent. And this is the final error message that this old computer is trying to spit out to us before it falls apart. Here's error message number 7, is that Heritage does not have a vibrant role in the community. Heritage's complacency was confirmed when it stopped reaching out to the community. When Heritage stopped going, Heritage stopped growing. Years ago, we had a vision for a community outreach through a single event called Awesome Fest. And at Awesome Fest, the community was invited to come to Heritage for music, for food, and for games. And for several years, this one-time event was the life support of the church. Throughout the rest of the year, Heritage had no more community involvement through outreach. And over the years, Awesome Fest became more of a community inreach. Most of the people who attended Awesome Fest were already somehow connected to the church, related to people in the church, or were invited because of their connections with the bands who would come and play. And as we gather around and unite underneath this new vision statement, we must realize 2 things. Our loving service to one another has an inward component, and then it has an outward component. We must learn to take care of one another and to serve those who are in our community. We need to learn how to go again, because Christ specifically commanded us to do so. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said this. It's before his ascension. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Heritage should be going into the community and beyond with the intention of reaching others with the gospel. In 2016, we are going to begin experimenting with how we are going to reach our community and make an impact for Christ. And the emphasis is going to be on going out to people, not having people come in to our church. Because we have to be honest with each other. Many people in our community do not want to come to Heritage, mostly because of how it looks externally. There are too many issues with our grounds for someone to look at our church and say, "Now that's a place that I want to go to on Sunday mornings." And because of this, we have to flip the script and we need to go out to them. Improving the grounds is going to be one of the issues that we are all going to have to think about and make sacrifices towards in 2016. But this morning's text, it outlines the priority and the passion that should motivate our service. And through it, we are going to be introduced to the biblical concept of hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. If you don't have your Bible, take it out on your app. We have it up on the screen. So let's go ahead and let's read God's word together. So Romans 12:9 says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Hospitality is the generous and the friendly treatment of guests and visitors. Hospitality is all about doing what is whatever in reason, whatever is in conscience to make someone better, to enrich their lives. When someone is hospitable, they have created an environment, a culture, a disposition where a person can live and grow and thrive. This is what we need to begin again as we recommit to our community. Paul encouraged the Roman Christians to practice hospitality, but how are they to do that? And that's where our proposition comes in. The proposition is that biblical hospitality begins with a Christ-centered disposition. It begins with what's going on in the inside. Hospitality, like many actions in the Christian life, begins with the heart. Isaiah 29:13 says this, and Christ uses it in Matthew as well. It says, the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. In Isaiah's time, people were busy serving God. They were doing the right things, and they served because it was tradition. It was something that they learned. They served because they were taught to do so, not because they really wanted to or because that was their desire or their heartbeat. Their disposition was wrong. Their words and their actions said one thing, but their hearts said another. And God sees it all. These people said the right things. They honored God with their speech, with their lip service, like Isaiah said, but their hearts were so far from God. Hospitality, true biblical service to God and to others, must begin with a Christ-centered disposition. Christ must rule in the hearts of those who want to serve God and who wants to serve others. And we see these qualities and the qualities of this disposition through our first point. So point one is this, is that service must be motivated by selflessness. Selflessness that is motivated by love. Let's jump into our text. And that first phrase in verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Now the Greek word used here for love is the word agape that we are familiar with, that God's unconditional love. We've talked about it before. It is the perfect mixture of benevolence and compassion and affection. The Greek word for hypocrisy means something that is not genuine or something that is insincere. The demonstration of love must be consistently genuine and consistently sincere. And the next phrase tells us how to be consistent and how to be sincere with our love towards people. The next phrase in verse 9 says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And the Greek word for abhor means to detest. When you detest something, you cannot be around it. You cannot allow that thing into your life and to dominate and to influence you. This is how we can be consistent in our love with one another. The Greek word here for cling, it means to join, it means to unite, it means to glue, means to stick. We are encouraged to be glued to what is good. And this gives us an idea of how we are to abhor. If we stick to what is good, then we must do the opposite with what is evil. So on a spiritual level, we must detach and we must separate from those things that are evil, from those things that are wicked around us. We must not allow those things to impact how we think and how we speak and how we live in our spiritual lives, because then it will impact how we love people. This is what it means to love without hypocrisy. You detach from what's bad and you glue yourself to what is good. If you really want to love others, detach from the wicked and the stuff of this world and you'll be able to create a life of consistency. If you don't, it will deaden your desire to love God, to love people, and to serve them. Then Paul moves into some tangibles of selflessness. He starts with the motive, and then he moves to the practice. Look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." So how do we display hospitality? We devote ourselves to people. The Greek word for devote means to cherish. And we cherish each other through brotherly love. This love is fraternal attachment. It's the way that we feel about our closest friends and our closest family members. This is how we must treat people. Paul tells us that we are to cherish others the way that we cherish our closest friends and our closest family. This is the disposition of hospitality. Our personal relationships and the church's involvement in the community must show this to people. So how do we show that we cherish one another? Look at me at the next phrase in verse 10. It says, "Give preference to one another in honor." The phrase "give preference" means to view others more highly than you view yourself. The call to hospitality, it strips the person of pride and selfishness. The heart of service and hospitality is this, that we treat others as if they are more important than us. And this kind of love, it is so difficult. It is so tough to start and sustain. It's difficult because since the fall, our natural tendency is to turn into ourselves. We are wired for self more than others. But let me show you tangibly what it looks like. This past week, three of our ladies woke up early on a Tuesday morning to go to our local elementary school. Their service, serve food, and serve drinks to some of the school's students with disabilities and their parents. This is the start of giving preference to others. They could have made so many excuses. I had to do this. I had to do that. I don't know how to deal with kids who are like that. They could have made a myriad of excuses, but they realized that others' needs are just as important or even more important than their desires. And I know, church, this is one of my struggles that I bring to the table, and it's probably one of your struggles. There are sometimes I look at my wife and I think, wow, she is so hospitable. She gives and gives and gives. And there's times when I come home from work, I'm up at 5:30 in the morning, get home at 4:30 in the afternoon. There's times where I do not want to check my cell phone. I do not want to respond to voicemails, respond to emails, go by and do this, that, or the other, because I'm tired. I want to check out. But this is not the life to which our God is calling us. There's times where I look at her and say, I wish I could be that kind of giver. But then I think this is why God has us in relationship with each other, to rid me of my selfishness, so I can be the giver that God wants me to be. Because there's some days I want to go home and I want to check out, totally detach from the world because I'm tired. But hospitality, creating that environment where people can grow and people can thrive, it forces me to conquer my selfishness. When my words and my actions show that other people are more important than me, then I honor them. And the Greek word that is used here for honor just means value, something that's valuable. People are worthy of honor. People are valuable. Why? Because they are all made in the image of God. And this is a core value that we have learned in our life groups as we have been studying the Gospel Project in Genesis. When our words and our actions show others that they are more important than us, then we can begin to grow again. But not until that point. So, how can we start this, and how can we sustain this? How can we show our community that they are worthy and that they are valuable of this type of service? And that's point two. Point two is that service must be maintained by dedication. It's hard work. Service must be our consistent commitment. Take a look with me at verse 11. It says, "Not lagging behind in diligence. Now, the Greek word for lagging means tardy, it means lazy, it means slothful. For me, when I listen to those three words, I think of a sloth, like the sloth from Ice Age. That's what I picture that Paul is trying to say. A sloth is slow, apathetic, and just lazy in their diligence. The Greek word for diligence here means to be eager or to look forward to something. Service must not be slothful. We must be eager and excited and enthusiastic to serve one another. And we can't do this if we are motivated by selfishness. If we're selfish, we will either choose us over others every time, or we will grumble and we will complain as we're doing that service. But this dedication is how we can sustain service to one another and to the community. Look with me in the next phrase in verse 11. It says, fervent in spirit. We must realize that our service to others is service to God. So he says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Our spirit must be fervent to maintain our service to God through others. Now, this Greek word for fervent, it means to grow hot or to glow or to be excited, to be enthusiastic. Our spirit must glow with enthusiasm while we serve. Service must come from a fervent spirit because our flesh and our heart sometimes will not feel like it. That's why it says be fervent in the spirit, not fervent of heart, fervent in flesh, fervent in spirit. Service must be maintained by this kind of passion and dedication so that verse 12 can happen. In verse 12, we have three phrases. We have rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and then devoted to prayer. In service to other people, we are commanded right here by Paul to rejoice in hope. We are told to be glad because there is an expectation. There is a hope. There is something coming in the future that is associated with serving people. We hope that God will use our service to make people hungry for God and to pursue Him. And we need to rejoice in hope, like Paul says, because of the next phrase. This is how we persevere in tribulation. The Greek word for tribulation can mean a bunch of different things. It could be anguish, it could be pressure, it could be persecution, it could be trouble. Our service to God through others will experience tribulation. It will come with sorrows. It will come with troubles. We will experience anguish and we will experience pressure if we commit ourselves to serve people. And this is one of the many things that God is teaching me right now as your pastor about service. Service is hard. Service has many sorrows, but serving others, serving you, serving this community is worth it. And this is why Paul says we must persevere through them. And that Greek word for persevere just means to endure, survive it. You survive those tribulations by rejoicing in hope and looking to the future, what God is going to do in and through us. Sorrows must be endured while serving so that other people's needs will be met in Christ. And this can happen by rejoicing in hope and being devoted to prayer. And the Greek word for devoted, that's another cool word picture. It means to attend to one's exercises. Just imagine this buff guy. I imagine Kagan's new father-in-law, Chris, this really buff guy kind of walks around like that. I imagine when he goes to the gym, he knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows if it's an arms day or if it's a legs day or whatnot. He goes in that gym with a perfect picture of what he wants to get out of things. And he structures his time there. And that's why he's so buff. And I'm not. Prayer life should be just like this. Developing a structured prayer life will help you endure those tribulations while you are suffering through service. So now we see the motivation of service and how service has to be maintained. But how does this relate to us individually? Then how does it relate to us corporately as people of God? And that's where our application comes in. Our application is that we can regain vitality. We regain life through biblical hospitality. We see two dimensions of service in our final verse in verse 13. Paul says, contributing to the needs of the saints, and then practicing hospitality. The Greek word for contributing is the very same Greek word that we get the English word fellowship. I almost wish that the translators of this would have just inserted fellowship right here because it makes it so vivid. We need to partner up and have fellowship with the needs of those that are going on in the church. Their sufferings become your sufferings. Their needs become your needs. This is biblical hospitality to one another. We need to partner up with those who are in need in our church. We need to practice hospitality. And this Greek word for hospitality is an intriguing word when I was studying it this week. This word is a compound of two different words. The first word is the word brotherly love, where we get Philadelphia. And then it's sandwiched with another word that's just a word for hospitality. This word literally means brotherly love, hospitality. This is what we are to pursue. We are to create an environment of brotherly love, hospitality, where others feel as if they are truly family, that you survive anything with them. By devoting ourselves to selfless service, we regain our vitality, our life. Our lives are enriched in Christ when we give it away in service. And this is totally contradictory to what culture tells us. Culture says, look after your own first. Get yours first. Get yours now. Then you worry about other people. But this is not the gospel. The gospel says, put others before yourself. In Jesus' words in John 12, verse 24 to 26, illustrates this. In these verses, we see this great word picture of selfless service through what Jesus says about himself. And here's what it says. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. That grain of wheat referenced right here, he's referring to himself. Jesus is this grain of wheat. He served God by dying for the sins of all those who would believe in him. He had to die through sacrificial service so that he could bear fruit. This is how service begins. If you die to yourself in service, you will bear fruit. It takes a lot of trust because the culture has ingrained in us something totally contradictory. But this is gospel truth. Life comes from death. That's the gospel. It's not the world. In God's view, if you love your life more than others, you lose. But if you value others more than yourself, you are going to bear fruit all the way along to eternal life. And this is why Jesus said, whoever truly serves me is going to follow me. The key to vitality and bearing fruit in life is to lose your life in service to others. This must become the heartbeat of Heritage. Hospitality is just one indication of the true health of a Christian and of a church. At Heritage, we are aiming to create a generation of Christians that pursue God, that develop authentic relationships and lovingly serve. And we will try to find our place in the community yet again. And it's going to be through biblical hospitality. Heritage hospitality must lovingly serve others by providing that generous and that friendly environment where people can live and grow and thrive in our soil. Revitalization can begin when we make an intentional decision to display biblical hospitality.